My verse is Psalm chapter 25, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. We're going to talk about the secret of the Lord this morning. You know, there's something thrilling about sharing the confidence of a famous person. I don't know if you despise name dropping as much as I do, but whenever somebody knows the President of the United States or someone knows, you know, I was jogging with M the other day, Madonna, and we were hanging out, and name droppers can get irritating, but there is something majestic about being able to claim the confidence of a famous person. You're sort of in the know. But what would it be like if you could claim the confidence of God? I mean, where God would make you a confidant and share his heart with you. The psalmist here says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. We're going to talk about the secret of the Lord. The Lord has a secret. And the secret we're speaking about is not a specific snippet of information about you. It is really pressing through his works to his person. The secret of the Lord is dealing with the actual heart of God, the intent of God, the longing of God. So many of us only know the works of God, but we don't know the God behind the works. We want the blessing instead of the blessor. We want the gift instead of the gift giver. But did you know this verse says that God has a secret, but God doesn't share his secrets with everybody. And hopefully you don't share your secrets with everybody. Now, why is it that you don't share your secrets and unveil utterly everything about who you are with everybody? Because not everybody's safe enough to appreciate who you are. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Now, what's interesting is Jesus is universal in his love. He's universal in his salvation. He's willing to save to the uttermost. He's willing to leave the 99 and go seeking after the one. But one thing is unique about Jesus. He's universal in his love and salvation, but he does choose specific individuals in order to share his heart. He doesn't cast pearls before swine. We do. He won't. What an idea. God only shares his heart with certain people, his inner desires, his inner longings, his inner character. Not everybody can press through the works of God and get to the God of the works. But you know, behind every display of nature's power, behind all the secondary causality we've seen, behind everything in nature, if you press behind that glorious work, you will find someone behind it and beneath it who is so much more valuable. The secret of the Lord, though, is not with everybody. And your secrets shouldn't be with everybody. Only with those that are capable of appreciating and valuing. We talk about safe relationships. We talk about safe people. When I think of the secret of the Lord, it gives me a little bit nervous. Are there any safe people in the body of Christ with whom Jesus can share his longings, his heart, his concerns? Interesting topic. That's what we're going to talk about today. Because here's the good news. This message will encourage you because we spend a lot of time looking at all that we don't have, the talents we don't have, the looks that we don't have, the money we don't have, the fame we don't have, the legacy we've never left. We are experts in everything that is undone in our lives. But Jesus, thank God, only looks at what is well done, and he covers everything else with his blood. That's good news. But here's the point. You may not be the prettiest thing in the world or the most handsome thing in the world or the most talented thing in the world, and you may be the age you are and be where you are and maybe think you should have been somewhere else, but everyone can be a candidate for the secret of the Lord. Doesn't matter your socioeconomic background. It doesn't matter your past. It doesn't matter your past sins. Starting today, you can open your heart and you can say, Lord, I want to become a man. I want to become a woman who would be a confidant. There's a lot I don't have, but all of us have the potential to be a man or a woman whose heart can be safe enough for Christ to share his secret. Oh, the Lord's got a lot of secrets. It's a simple message today. We're going to talk about first the secret in all things. And secondly, we're going to talk about the secret of a man. And third, we're going to talk about the secret of the Lord. Let's look at the principle, a secret in all things. You know, the book of nature is an amazing book, and it's open to everybody, but not everybody can find out or mine out the truth behind everything in nature. I mean, a botanist has to search out absolutely all the time, seeking and asking and looking and longing in order to narrow their field of interest. You've got to search, if you're a botanist, to find the secret behind all of this wonderful manifestation God has created. It requires digging and searching and seeking if you want to find the secret lying behind the book of nature. It's just absolutely amazing. Look at the extravagance of God as you look at creation today. Tonight, look at the stars before you go to bed. Now, can you imagine that any feature in nature would have to be individually sought out? There's a secret in everything. Everything worth knowing has a secret in it. And whether you're a biologist, you're going to have to look and hunt and search and seek in order to find the secret lying behind any manifestation that we see in this world. So anything worth finding is worth looking for. And so in the Bible, we see first and foremost that secrets are something that have to be sought out. You must seek the heart of a man or a woman before they'll ever come to a place where they can trust you and show confidence in you. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst, and that ask, and that seek, and that knock." And you know, to find the secret in the heart of a woman or the secret in the heart of an individual, you're going to have to search for it. You're going to have to care enough to look. Secrets are not revealed easily. Well, in nature, there's the whole principle. If you don't look, if you don't, and notice the word says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. That word fear doesn't mean terror, it means reverence. You know, it's impossible to find the secret of an individual unless you reverence them, unless you are filled with a sense of awe at their importance and their individual value. Did you know, who are you going to give up your secrets to? Somebody that's indifferent to you? Doesn't care if you live or die? You know, the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is indifference. Just don't care. I want to be tortured by a man that hates me, not a man that's indifferent to me. Don't ever be tortured by someone that's indifferent, because they don't care. You know, tell me what I want to know, you're going to die. Don't tell me what I don't want, you're going to die. It's just an indifference. You know, there's something frightening about indifference. And did you know you cannot be indifferent and search out the heart of God and search out and find the secret behind his universe, behind the heart of a man or a woman? The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him and reverence him and have a sense of awe and have a sense of value. You know, it's funny. You'll only yield up the secret of who you are. I mean, the real you on the inside. If someone treats you, unless they treat you with respect, unless they treat you as someone that's valuable. I mean, if you walk in the room and they react, oh, like when they walk into a Gothic cathedral, oh, you know, that's a good candidate for someone that might be safe in your life. If they value like a Gothic cathedral, if they're overwhelmed with a sense of reverential awe and respect for who you are, that's one step toward getting someone to open their heart. Because did you know, nature will not yield its secrets to the uninterested, to the indifferent. And look at the next level. We'll go a level up, the secret of a man. Did you know there are a lot of facts we know about you externally, but we don't really ever know the real you? You know, there's a secret in everyone. You drive by 100 houses on the way to work, but you only know what goes on inside of one, maybe two. But you don't know that what goes on in all the other houses you pass by every day is a secret. It's not yielded up to you. You know, every human being, I may know how much you make. I can go online and do a search on you. I can find out an awful lot of external facts about you. But when I know everything there is to know factually, there's still a you in there known only to you and God. And there's a secret in every man, woman, boy, and girl. There's something precious in you that is not quantifiable. It can't be externally detected. And a secret is something by definition which can only be revealed. You can't beat a secret out of somebody. Well, all analogies break down. I'm sure with the right context, throw me in jail, I'd tell a few things about you. But my point is, secrets have to be revealed. No one in a normative relationship is going to veil who they are at the intimate level, the most intimate level, unless they choose to reveal that secret. See? See, the whole mystery of the reality of the church was a secret. A secret, a mystery hidden in Christ, in God, that had never been fully seen and told out before until God chose to reveal it. And all mysteries in the Bible are mysteries until God chooses to reveal those specific mysteries. And so look at this. When we look at a man or a woman, that's one level up from the book of nature. Even nature will not yield her secrets to the disinterested. Well, what about an individual? See, the real you on the inside. See, the secret of a man, it isn't some one thing you did that's nasty that you want to talk about. We don't mean that when we talk about the secret of a man or a woman. We're talking about your inner essence, your inner end, your motive, your intent, your concerns, what moves you, the real you on the inside that very few people ever know. Well, guess what? You're never going to share and unveil those realities about you unless somebody fears you. By that we mean reverences you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7. That doesn't mean the terror of God, fearing a lightning bolt is going to strike your behind in a minute. That's not what we're talking about. That drives you away from God. That kind of terror drives you away from relationship, doesn't draw you into relationship. The fear we're talking about is awe. When you value God and you bow before God as the source of life, the fount of life, then you're in a position to become a candidate that might know a few things. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The awe of God, the respect and the reverence of God is the beginning of all wisdom. Well, the respect and reverence of Dennis is the beginning of having an access to Dennis and who he is inside. That's the secret of a man. But you know, I'm going to give some hints here. First, the secret of an individual will never be revealed without awe and reverence and respect. But second, without patience. Do you know a work of art rarely yields its secrets to a disinterested gazer? I was at the Getty the other day. Chris and I were at the Getty, all right? You go to the Getty, there are Rembrandts. You go, Rembrandts. But you know, there are people that are unschooled and with one disinterested gaze go, thought it would be bigger than that. They want, one disinterested gaze will not reveal the secret of a genius, a master. Yeah, whatever. I thought the Mona Lisa would be bigger. Anyhow, what's for lunch? Oh, rape. You know what I mean? Can you imagine? That's what young people do all the time, right? They won't take the time that's necessary in order to show patience, in order for the work to be able to reveal its secret. Go, oh, look at that breaststroke. Then it gets good. You, oh, my God, look at the lighting. Where's that light coming from? Oh, my God. See, it's only older people that usually you find in galleries, right? They're not at the dance clubs taking ecstasy. They're staring at the Mona Lisa going, oh, my God. See, reverence and awe will open the secret up. Patience will open up the secret and reveal the secret, you see. If you pursue a friendship and a relationship with awe and a sense of patience, guess what? You're closer to getting to that secret being revealed to you than anything else. Well, what about God? He's a person, too. He has intellect, will, and emotions. Psalm 19 says, the earth is full of his glory, but few press through his works to get behind them to him. I'm sorry, but we're still serving him for what he can do for us all too often. Gimme, gimme, my name's Jimmy. Let me rub my Jesus rabbit's foot. I want to put that out at the Christian bookstores, the rabbit's foot. See, just rub it. You can get whatever you want, right? Get that genie, jump right out of the bottle. God is not your cosmic bellhop. Okay, you know what, loved one? There's a time where we mature to the place where we're in reverence to God and in patience, we will see him reveal his secrets to us. And you know what? I'd rather be called a friend of God than anything else in this world or the next. Now, just maybe he might get to the point where he goes, you know, we could trust Craig with that secret. With that inner heart. See, what's this thing about the secret of God? What's the point of it? The point of it is the closer you are to the intimate counsels of God, the more morally you become like him. The more you're infused with his who-ness, the closer you are to him, the more he's able to share his heart with you. Loved ones, some Christians know the letter of the law, but they don't know the spirit behind it. Jesus had to tell the religious custodians of his day that the Sabbath was made for man. not man for the Sabbath. That principle remains today. Why was David called a man after God's own heart? Because David could see the secret in things. David knew the essentials from the non-essentials. As much of a sinner as he was, at the end of the day, he could see through the book of nature. He could see through the hearts of men and women, and he could see to the heart of God, and he could see the essential from the non-essential issue. You know, that's a sign of Christian maturity. That you know what's really pleasing to God and what really is important, and you tithe mint, anise, and cumin, but you omit the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy. You know, hopefully maturity will help you see the heart of God, the secret of God, his concern. Where you see somebody like Jesus did when the adulterous woman that was thrown before him, and everyone said, well, we've got him over a barrel now. If he forgives her, then he violated Leviticus 20, verse 10, which says stone her. So he's disrespected Moses. If he doesn't forgive her, we'll just say he's a hard-nosed lout. Look, he's killing women. There's no way out. Right? And Jesus said, okay, well, if we're going to give her justice, good. All right, let's start with you. See, the thing that ought to stop you passing judgment and ultimate justice on somebody else is your willingness to take it yourself first. Jesus says, okay, I'm in a stoning mood. Get them ready. Always good to stone an adulteress once a month at least. It keeps the juices flowing. But before we do that, is there any among you holding the stones that if you ever sin, anyone that has not sinned, You go ahead. You throw the first stone. You see, if you want justice for somebody else, then you got to take it first yourself. That puts the mercy button real attractive right then. You want to tape it down and sit on it. Lord, mercy on them. Mercy! I mean, I may say it with a twitch, but I do at the end of the day, after I'm done venting, I pray mercy on everybody because I want mercy. It's all self-motivated, as most everything I do is. Amen. But I'm telling you right now, loved one, do you see the secret of the Lord is yielded only in when there's a reverential sense of awe? First, second, patience. Patience. You don't see everything at one glance. And looking at your own life, think about your own life. You're making snap judgments on your own value in your own life. The Apostle Paul put it this way, I don't even judge myself. That's what Paul said. He said, I don't even know how to quantify and judge my ministry. I'm beaten all the time. I'm shipwrecked. The word of faith, people think there's sin in my life or I'm not believing the right thing. My confession's off. And I'm not too sure. My back is beaten bloody. I mean, every town I go into, they call me a liar and a devil, and they deny my apostleship. And I spend most of my ministry life in prison. And those prisons were nasty holes in the ground. I've seen in Malta, if you've ever seen the prison where Paul was, if you've been to the Mamertine prison in Rome, you know exactly what we're talking about. There's no lights. All right. There's just you in a pit in the ground. And rats that you're fending off. So you know what I'm saying? Paul said, I don't even know how to put a quantifiable judgment on my own value and ministry. I don't know. I'm trusting Christ. He's going to have to make, he's in the helicopter. He's the only one that has a view to see if anything Craig Johnson ever did, even by accident, was redemptive. So since I don't have that view, and you certainly don't have that view the nasty way you talk about me, I'm going to trust Jesus to value the secret of my life. Loved one, listen, you are a candidate for the greatest intimacy in the world, which is to be called a friend of God. Whatever you don't have, and you may not have much the rest of your life, this may be it for you. Salvation in heaven for sure, and you just being around, stumbling around here trying to figure out why it is God allowed you to be created and what you're here for. Well, you know what? While you're just stumbling around down here, why don't you realize that you can ask God, I want to be a confidant. I want you to be able to tell me what your concerns are. I want you to show me people you love that everyone else has rejected. I want to see with your eyes. I want to hear with your ears. He'll grant that prayer. He might not give you a 747, but he'll give you that. He will make you an individual who can feel his heart for others. And you may see somebody, you know, a friend, someone who's walking in when the whole world's walking out. God may make you a friend of people that everyone else is walking away from. Someone in trouble is your way out of trouble. someone in trouble around you is your way out of trouble. Don't try to avoid it. Let Christ share his secret with you and whisper and say, it's Dennis. I want you to spend some time with Dennis. I want you to spend some time with Mary. I want you to, because see, God sees something in you that no one else does. And guess what? It's the secret of who you are. It's your value. You are a unique deposit of God's grace and kingdom in this earth. You're a gift to the earth. He didn't have one of you. He wanted one of you. So he made one of you. And God, give us the eyes to see how he sees. Jesus tells a story of going to a man named Simon the Pharisee's house, and they had a men's group that night, and they made a beautiful table for Jesus. And in the middle of the dinner, a woman breaks in and begins to pour ointment on him and begins to weep and begins to touch him and begins to wash with her tears his feet. And it really looked initially inappropriate what was going on. You don't interrupt a men's group. A woman certainly doesn't do it. You don't touch a rabbi in public, let alone pouring your tears and wiping him and touching him intimately. The feet, was it was an intimate touching that was happening here in the perception of the public. And she was a woman with a shady reputation to begin with. But I want you to notice Jesus saw something different than Simon the Pharisee. Simon and all the boys said, why is this woman doing this? Rebuke her, Rabbi. Get her out of here. But Jesus saw something different. See, he saw the secret of her heart. She'd repented. She'd given her heart utterly to God. She had forsaken her past, and she just came back to say, thank you. I love you. And she poured out the greatest gift she could, her heart, before Jesus. You see, God, give us the grace to see and to value the secrets of other people's hearts. When they're really at the end of their rope and they're pouring that out to you, value that. Be patient with that. Let that be drawn out. And then maybe God will trust you. Now, the secret we're talking about isn't one particular bit of information. It's a new heavy revy that I'm going to hear and then go preach at the seminars. No, the secret of the Lord is his intent, his heart, his concern, what moves him. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody with an anvil and they're slamming the iron on the anvil and they're forming the iron on the anvil. You know, the iron only knows the rude blows and strikes that are happening. But if the iron could only know the intent in the gentle mind behind that experience, the intent of the designer, the intent that every blow is strategically designed to forge this into an instrument of grace and a great destiny, then, you know, the iron might feel a little bit better if he could know the secret in the mind of the artisan. And so God, give us the passion to seek in the book, whether it's the book of nature, to have the reverence and the patience that would cause nature to yield her secrets to us. God, give us the grace to look at men and women, boys and girls around us and have the reverence and the awe and the sense of valuing of them that would allow them to feel safe enough to drop their guard and reveal the true them. What a gift that is. The only gift you really have is to give your heart. And church sometimes is the most unsafe place on earth. You got lunatics doing weird stuff in the name of Jesus wearing porcupine suits. And if you do drop your guard and show who you really are, they'll give you a porcupine suit hug and you're done for. That's why the church sometimes has to be treated as an ER. We got to keep it clean, you know. We got to keep crazy out and we got to keep safety in. You don't put a brand newborn in a rat-filled cradle, you know, with bacteria all over it. You clean it up. So you see, God's been cleaning a lot of our lives and our hearts up so that we would become safe people, safe custodians of the secret of a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl. And you know, just let me mention this. There's so much pushy, 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 even in the body of Christ. You know, learn this, do this, take tracks, go out on the street, do that. You know what? That's not natural. Relationship is natural. It takes time for people to get to know you, to trust you. See, I'm commanded to love you, but I'm not commanded to trust you anywhere in the Bible. That's earned. And if you violate my trust, I'm still going to love you and wish you well, but you're going to earn the trust back. You don't have to earn my love or willingness to forgive you and release a debt, but I'm not going to trust you. Not commanded to. Two different categories, love and trust. They have nothing in common. Really, they're two different categories. So when I am, see, I need to demonstrate to you that I'm a safe person before you. Now, granted, you can't always, sometimes you just have minutes with people, right? But even when you just have minutes with them and you want to give them a track, they'll accept your service before they'll understand your message. You can be nice. Give them some socks. We've got some socks for the homeless back here. We've got some cans of food for them. Why don't you serve somebody? And they may not understand the deep theological implication of your hamartiology, but they will eat the soup you give them. See? So you can get to the, you may not have a lot of time with people, but I think even if it's a short time God puts us in somebody's life, he'll witness to their heart that we're a safe person, that we're not there to get anything from them, but there to give for them. People are smart. They're street smart. So if you just have minutes with people, you're going to have to trust God to give your show your heart to them. But you know what? Most things in life are time-tested friendships and relationships. And quit being in such a hurry. That's my point. Devils rush. People rush. The Holy Spirit is in no hurry at all. But if we don't let the tyranny of the urgent in Jesus' name creep up on you. Tyranny of the urgence of the devil too. Just calm down. The secret of the Lord is revealed only with reverence and patience. The secret of a man or woman only with reverence and patience. And you've got to pursue and you've got to want to know. See, secrets are revealed. What a privilege it is. You look at David, he knew the heart of God. He knew the heart in things. Listen to Solomon's writings. He could see the heart of the book of nature. He could get to some secrets. Doesn't matter what your sins are. God's not interested in your cigarettes, he's interested in your heart. See, if he's got you, then he's got the secret of you. And you know, he can be trusted, always. Let's us pray to become trusted custodians of the hearts of men and women. But then most important, his heart. Father, please, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And to them you will reveal your covenant. God, forgive us for being unsafe people. Please, Lord. We don't want to miss the essentials versus the non-essentials. We want to know what breaks your heart. We want to know what brings joy to your heart. We want to be custodians of what it is that pleases you and what it is that displeases you as well. Give us a reverberating sense of the heart of God. And Lord, let us become over time friends of God. We long for the day when you would point to us and say, "That's my friend Craig. That's my friend, Rick." Lord, the sweetest words we could ever hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Someone say amen, right?